without further ado, then we'll call forward our speaker, Mr. Arthur Hughes, as he speaks to us on the subject, the troublous times in which we live.
My friends, sisters and young people, I'm sure that you will all agree with the title of our address this evening, that we do indeed live in troublous times. And though one might say, well, there's always been troubles upon the earth since the days of the fall of man, there is no doubt that the world today in which you and I live is being affected with problems which has never in its history experienced before. Problems which does not just affect the freedom or power of a nation because of war or because of suffering a terrible disaster like a tsunami or something of the like, as terrible as these things are, but problems, serious problems, which affect the very earth upon which we live and all forms of life. So serious have things become. Ecologists are warning us that we live in a vital decade, providing a last chance for the people of this world to protect the planet. If we do not change our attitudes, says one of them, we're in for a very grim time indeed in the future. It seems that birds, the birds of the air about us and their food chain, that is the insects and the flies upon which they live, are becoming affected by the things that man has brought and is still bringing about upon the earth. Only a fortnight ago, people were asked to count the numbers of different species of birds coming into their gardens because they realize that something is radically wrong. The number of certain birds visiting our gardens are getting less and less each year. They're asking us, the people that travel long distances in their car, to look at their windscreens, because whereas at one time the windscreen would be covered in bugs and insects, today you can travel for the length of the land and hardly need to wash your screen. Things are terribly happening upon the earth. Global warming, with its devastating effect, it is said, is causing great problems. The people who are aware of these things are reminding us of the peril of the CO2 and other gases entering into the atmosphere from the burning of fossil fuels. Severe weather patterns are affecting the earth. Some countries are having severe storms, and in other areas there is severe drought in places like Africa and Australia. The glaciers at the poles are melting at a phenomenal rate, they tell us, which is causing and will cause eventually much flooding to low-lying coastal land throughout the earth, which it said could get very much worse in time. Man, over the last 200 years or so, has created and brought into being many, many wonderful inventions, saving inventions for man, which have brought many benefits to man. But at what cost? But at what cost? Consider the motor vehicle. What would we do without it today? How would we manage without the motor vehicle today? Yet each day, the roads in some countries of the world are almost becoming gridlocked. massive traffic jams or slow-moving traffic are a daily feature of life today, which in turn is a source of worry to the authorities. Apart from the extra pollution of these traffic non-stop, it is also a worry to the authorities because of the delays to workers, etc., held up in these jams. The cost to the country is phenomenal for these people held up in jams. And apart from the unbelievable pollution caused by all these vehicles, each with their pollution too, we have also rail travel, air travel, ship travel, each with their pollution pumping into the atmosphere. Power stations, fossil burning power stations, industrial industries throughout the world, all pumping out these gases, especially, we are told, in up-and-coming countries like China, India, Pakistan and the like. This massive pollution from these countries causes acid rain, which kills the fish in the river, which is a source of food for many people. And large lakes and reservoirs are becoming affected with acid rain, with this pollution coming down and causing smog in huge cities, affecting the people's health. All these problems we can imagine are affecting the world's food and water supply. Extreme weather conditions with drought, etc., means less food produced. Yet it is claimed that the Earth's population will be in excess of 8 billion people by the year 2025. Where will the food come from to feed these extra people, we might ask? Thousands are dying from malnutrition in the world, third world countries every year at present. The Earth's reserves too of gas and oil and coal are fast running out. Such is the effect that Russia, who has more than most of these reserves, are holding the countries of Europe to the prices they ask for the gas, or be cut off. All these are great problems to smaller countries. But apart from these problems concerning the very earth and nature, which we have looked at, there is too the increase in violence. The increase in violence that is affecting the world today. We used to read of these things in the paper when I was younger. You'd read them and they always seemed far away. But now it is on our doorsteps. Some people in the cities are afraid to go out after dark. The authorities have had to tell the judges of the land not to send minor criminals, those who have done criminal acts, not to send them into custody, because the jails of our country are full to capacity. Police stations, etc., are being used to hold these criminals. Drug abuse too is on the increase. Teenagers have been caught up in today's rat race, plus the alcohol and drug problem with binge drinking, as they call it, by young people. Young people, 13 years of age, alcoholics, and suicides of young people on the increase. In Bridgend in this last year, 17 teenagers committed suicide. And last Friday, in the newspaper, Mr. Hayne, the MP for Neath, has appealed to the government to have an inquiry because he's very concerned over the suicides of young males in the Neath Port Talbot area, which is far above the national average. He is concerned that these young people are committing suicide, throwing their lives away at the prime of their life. We are aware, as we speak, that this address is not a pleasant one. It wasn't intended to be in a pleasant address, but to show to each one how great the present problems are upon the earth. In almost every country of the world, apart from pollution, there is unrest, terrible acts of terrorism with its violence and loss of life. I cut this little piece out of the paper yesterday. That caught those people, those 8 Islamic fanatics are on in court when they try to blow the people out of the air in 2006. 8 Islamic fanatics plotted to kill thousands of people by blowing passenger jets out of the sky with homemade bombs. At least 7 aircraft flying to major cities across North America were the target of the sophisticated conspiracy, a jury was told yesterday. Prosecutor said suicide bombers would smuggle liquid explosive disguised as soft drinks onto the flights at Heathrow Airport. They then planned to detonate the deadly devices within hours of each other, leaving the authorities powerless to do anything about it. Apart from the terrorists, we have trouble in the Middle East, Afghanistan, China and Tibet, the Basques in Spain, Kosovo, Iraq, Kenya, etc. Plus two, the financial problems facing America and this country, which could have great repercussions throughout the world, bringing a recession with all the hardship and misery that entails. Already in America, we are told, many, many homes have had to be repossessed. And even in this country, there have started some which have had to be repossessed because the people just cannot pay the amounts that they have to pay weekly. The Middle East is like a tinderbox, ready to explode at any moment. Iraq is still a headache for America and this country, and the soldiers that this country said would bring home, they find that they just have to leave them there. Such is the trouble now in Iraq once again. And the president of Iran has stated publicly his desire to destroy the small nation of Israel and is inciting other Muslims to murder and to destroy the Israel people from off the earth. These are without doubt troublous times. They are, to serious thinking people, troublous times. The words of the prophet Jeremiah are so true. It is not in man to direct his steps. Yet, as bad as things are, and we've certainly gone through quite a few things, and worse is predicted, we must not forget that, worse is predicted, but God is not going to let man destroy this earth. God is not going to let man destroy this earth with his wickedness. He is going to intervene in the affairs of man and judge this earth in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. even the Lord Jesus Christ, who will then bring peace upon earth and stability when man shall live with man peaceably. God has said this wonderful earth upon which you and I live shall be filled with his knowledge as the waters cover the sea. He has created this earth not for you and I. He didn't create it for you and I to have pleasure from it. The scriptures tell us he has created this earth for his pleasure and his glory. And what is most assuring is to the believer is the fact that when God has judged this earth by that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be peopled with righteous men and women. It will be filled with men and women who will give unto him the honor and the glory due to his most holy name. And that is the pleasure that he will have. Men and women down through the ages have believed the gospel or the glad tidings of the kingdom of God and the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have taken upon themselves the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism and have died in faith and lie in the grave, these same shall be raised from the dead. They shall be raised from the dead, and if found faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, shall receive a part and a place in that wonderful age of righteousness and peace, when God's name shall be glorified as he said it would. A time when the wicked shall be driven out of the earth. Turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Here the psalmist says in verse 1, this is to those that have faith in God. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any way to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 20, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, and shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Yes, they such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. Here is the promise of God to those who do those things which are pleasing in his sight, that they shall inherit the earth upon which we walk. to have a part and a place in that glorious kingdom that is promised. Daniel the prophet speaks of this wonderful time. Turn with me to chapter 12 of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Speaking of this time, he says in verse 1, "And at that time shall Michael, one like you, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and age-lasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever." What a wonderful promise to those that shall be found faithful. And if we quickly turn to Job chapter 4, chapter 19, there we will read that Job, that faithful man, died, but he died with a glorious hope. Chapter 19 and verse 20. Sorry, verse 23. "All that my words were now written, all that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." That is the hope of the faithful. Those who in the past have taken upon themselves the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism, and have walked into the kingdom in faith, they shall stand before the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns, and if found faithful, have a part and a place in that glorious kingdom that is promised. The Lord Jesus Christ, in predicting his return to the earth and what will come to pass before his return, said to his disciples, "When I return to the earth, there will be troubles of such magnitude that governments would not know which way to turn." The governments, he said, will not know which way to turn. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 21. The Gospel of Luke chapter 21. And here we read in verse 13, "And shall turn to you for a testimony, settle it therefore in your heart, not to meditate beforehand what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren, kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death." This was in the days and when he lived, because they asked him in verse 7, "When shall these things be?" And verse 17, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a head of your hair perish. In your patience possess your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And let them which are in the Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them which are in the countries enter therein. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." This chapter here The Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, speaks of the days when God would bring judgments upon the nation of Israel for their sins and for the crucifying of their Messiah. And he calls them days of vengeance, as we read. He said Jerusalem would be compassed by armies and would be trodden down of the Gentiles till the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. These very judgments came upon Israel in AD 70. It was 35 years after the Lord Jesus told them it would come. 35 years after he spoke these words, Jerusalem was surrounded by the enemy, the Roman army, and they were trodden down, and the Jews were taken captive throughout the earth and forbidden to return to Jerusalem. They were scattered throughout the world. And Jerusalem has been trodden of the Gentiles since those days of AD 70. But in 1917, Lord Allenby and the British troops drove out the oppressing Turks from the land of Palestine and freed the Jews. And in 1967, the city was freed of Gentiles, and Jerusalem became a Jewish city. In 1948, the nation of Israel came into being, and they chose Jerusalem as their capital. And the Jews are now free from the Gentile occupation in Jerusalem. But the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to say in that chapter that there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Verse 26. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Yes, the Lord said to them, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. That is the ruling powers, both secular and ecclesiastical. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. And that word perplexity means with no way out. The sea and the waves, that is the nations, roaring, warring one with the other. Isn't this just the very thing that we see happening around us today? We see nations in a state of affairs in which they can find no way out. They can find no way out of their problems. We considered global warming, which we have spoken about. They are trying to reduce CO2 gases. Yet consider, just consider for a moment, how many cars, lorries, vans, ships, planes, etc. are being built throughout the world each day of the week. Every day of the week, thousands of these vehicles are being produced throughout the world. And as China and India's economy grows more and more, more of these cars, ships, lorries and vans, etc. will be needed. More pollution will naturally come forth. As they increase in wealth, these poor countries, the people will want to enjoy themselves like the other parts of the world have done for years, driving around in their cars. And these people will want the same food that we in our affluent country have been able to have. They will want the food rather than just the stable diet of what they've had to live upon. Where is the extra food going to come from? The seas have been overfished so that some species of fish are almost extinct. Cod is almost gone because the seas have been overfished. Where are these people going to get the food from? Only recently it was stated that the animals on the farms are producing more of these polluting gases than in any other form on earth. This being the case, how is man going to feed the population of the world if they have to cut down on the animal population? How are they going to stop the millions of people travelling on our roads, planes, ships, etc.? And how are they going to feed the people without the means of getting the food across the countries and the nations of the world? And how are they going to increase production if they take away the pesticides, the fertilizers, etc., out of farming? The very things which are giving them the extra food, but which are causing so much of the world's problems. The Lord Jesus Christ was so right when he said, upon earth, distress of nations with perplexity, no way out. Man with all his ingenuity cannot solve the present distress that he himself has brought about upon the earth. Try as he may, it's impossible. The Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, the chapter which our president read to us, tells us that it, as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. That is, in the days of his returning judgment to the earth, there would exist the same materialistic outlook, the same decline in home life, the same upsurge of violence and crime, the same deteriorating morals, the same threat of pollution as preceded the flood of Noah's day, when God judged the world with a flood which destroyed all people upon the earth. And it will once again, God will bring his judgment upon the earth in which you and I live for its wickedness. In that 17th chapter of Luke, the Lord Jesus Christ says, likewise, he says, and as it was, verse 26, in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married, wives were given in marriage, until that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Even so, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. For a moment, Let's check this out. But what the Lord Jesus Christ there, let's just check it out to see if what the Lord Jesus Christ said is a fact. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We read in verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for in that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be in 120 years. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 12. And God looked upon the verse 11, I'm sorry. And the earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Do we exaggerate when we say the days are similar, the days in which you and I live? I don't think so. The violence is filling the earth as it was in the days of Noah. What about the days of Lot? Sodom and Gomorrah was rife with homosexuality, evil and violence, just as the world today. And when Lot told his son-in-law to get out of the city, as he was going to destroy it for its wickedness, he was laughed at. Just as they did in AD 70 when the Lord Jesus said that he would bring judgment. The people said things are carrying on just the same that they've always been. And that is what they tell us when we preach the truth today. Things are exactly the same as what they were before. There's always been violence. There's always been these troubles. And they laugh at you when you tell them that God is going to send the Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth in judgment. Turn to me with 2 Peter and chapter 2 and verse 7. 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just what? Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, vexed with their manner of life as we can be today. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knowing how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Do we exaggerate when we say that these are days similar to the days on which Lot lived, when homosexuality and violence is rife in the earth? No. They are very similar. They are just as the Lord Jesus Christ said they would be. Rife with wickedness, with men and women, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, as the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3. In Noah's day, the world was destroyed by a flood. Only Noah, as we sang in that hymn to commence, and his family were saved. only Noah and his family, because they were righteous in the sight of God. In Lot's day, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed with earthquake and fire, and only Lot and his two daughters were saved. In the days in which you and I live, God is going to bring a terrible judgment upon the earth of war and earthquake. We give an address of Armageddon to show the pinnacle of this terrible judgment when the war of Armageddon shall take place, when there shall be terrible distress of nations, when man shall be brought low until he realizes that God rules in the kingdoms of men and not him. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 25 to give us some idea of these terrible judgments. Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 30. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from Hanai, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout to they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, as we had seen it. And a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the course of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the earth. God is going to judge the nations. We can laugh and say things have carried on, and there's always been problems. But God, a day will come shortly when the Lord Jesus Christ shall return to judge this earth. The wicked, those that will not submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, shall perish. To the faithful, to those who submit and take upon themselves the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism, who walk faithfully according to God's word, they, and they only, shall enjoy the pleasure of that glorious kingdom of God upon the earth. Turn with me to Psalm 72, just to give us a little semblance of what a wonderful age that will be. Psalm 72. We haven't got no time to read many verses, but just a little verse to give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. Read it for yourself in your own time. But we read verse 19. Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The question is then, as we close, what must I do? What must we do as individuals to be saved from that terrible judgment of God which is coming upon the earth? The answer is in the scriptures. Take upon yourselves the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in faith. And soon, very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ will return and give unto you an entrance into that glorious kingdom.